Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and looking forward to our show. Hope everyone's doing well out there. And today we're going to actually take our whole hour and talk about real estate, the markets, things happening in the industry instead of splitting it up. For those of you that like to call in, the call-in number is 347-945-5428. And today, gosh, with 2016 starting, so many people have their New Year's resolutions and wondering how many out there are still following them. They says, you know, the statistics say after, 2 to 3 weeks into January, a lot of them have fallen by the wayside. So if that's you, I hope you get back out your pen and paper or computer, iPad, however you do it, and revisit your goals and get back on track, because it really does work and it's good for us. So today we are having our guests are Paul Schumann and Carol Hodges. We're going to talk about wise choices, thoughts on the future of real estate industry, and so much more. They live outside of San Diego in a really, really cool town, which I'll let them tell you about in a little bit. It's just going to be a fun show. Paul has been an entrepreneur and business owner since he graduated from Long Beach State University with a degree in chemistry. He successfully operated an auto repair shop, jewelry store, holistic health center, and has been a real estate broker for over 30 years, selling both residential and commercial properties. He also personally developed a fourplex and business park in Huntington Beach, California. He's helped a lot of companies, and we'll tell you one of the stories a little bit later in the show. Carol Hodges, she's had the pleasure of traveling many paths over the years. She was a top producer in video conferencing at MCIWorldwide.com. She operated a wind farm in Northern California. She also was a professional speaker. She still is a professional speaker. She's and singer, actress, dancer. She was in over 25 musicals. And she has been doing business coaching over the years, helped many business owners to double their income and find the time in their lives for family, health, and personal passion. I think one of the biggest things Carol's done here, and overall with her experience, is she helps people get confidence in their decisions, and then she has wide experience. So she's doing this now with Penn Mutual and other companies as a licensed agent. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Paul and Carol. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great.
Doing very well. Glad to be here.
Thank you for coming on. We're glad to have you. This is going to be fun. And tell us a little. I was telling about the history and kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about your experiences, Paul. Since you've been in over 30 years in the residential and commercial, what's your take on what's happening right now in the industry? Because it's wonderful to talk to someone that's been in that long. I've been in for 30 years too, and the changes are just happening like wildfire. What do you think's happening between everything?
What part of the world do you want to talk about? Because I know here in San Diego, we're in a stable market. I wouldn't say that we're in an upswing or a real boom market, but we are in a stable market. We've seen the housing prices kind of level a little bit. We're moving a little bit up and down. but people are a little nervous about what the interest rates are going to be doing. Of course, you know, with the entire economy right now crashing in the stock market, a lot of the discretionary money that people had that were saving up to could, you know, add room additions and, you know, buy newer houses and go places, when the market crashes, what we notice is that there's a slight pullback in the real estate, kind of like holding back on the reins. But what I've noticed over the years being involved in finance is that typically there's a lag time when we see a real loss in the stock market, that within about a year or so, you'll see a dip in the real estate market. Because all of that money that people were hoping and praying on, like when the 401ks went to 201ks, you know, it hurt everybody's ability to maneuver and buy more investment properties. Because a lot of people put their money into the stock market, letting it grow, pardon me, to be able to get higher down payments, to be able to afford what they want. So the economy is doing a rock and roll right now. It's a little tenuous. You know, I was looking on the MLS this morning, seeing buy and sold, and I can see that there's an awful lot of expired listings coming up. I mean, in the last 30, since January 1st, there were over 2,000, almost 2,100 expired listings in San Diego County, and a lot of withdrawals. The market, people are still thinking it isn't going in an upward direction, and they're pricing their houses too high.
That's what's happening, huh?
I'm looking on the MLS, and you know, I know that our price ranges, depending upon the quality of the house, could range anywhere from 2.25, you know, a square foot, to upwards of 300 if it's one of those monstrous estates that looks like gold-plated doors. And a lot of the people who have the lower-end houses still think it's worth like the higher-end houses per square foot. And we're seeing those are just not, they're not selling.
Yeah, so if a property is expired, it's usually either it wasn't worked or it was priced too high. That makes sense. And sometimes people can't get in. But, we're relying on so many different economies now. We've got our worldwide, our local. I'm glad to hear San Diego still seems to be holding, though. You're not seeing a big dip. You think the people have to start looking around and make some changes.
San Diego has always been a fairly stable community, except, you know, in 2008 and 2009 when the whole world went down. People love San Diego County. The weather is incredible. We've got good job opportunities here. It's just a friendly town. And we draw a lot of tourism. You know, we have an enormous tourist base because, again, the weather. We got Disneyland here. We got SeaWorld. We got Knott's Berry Farm. We got all sorts of resorts, Universal Studios. We got Hollywood coming in, you know, in Los Angeles. So people are coming to Southern California. And when they look at the prices and what they can get for it, San Diego is a bargain. It is an absolute bargain. And where we are in Fallbrook, you know, I'm looking on the MLS and I'm comparing our prices in Fallbrook for, I mean, absolute stunning houses on 2, 3, 4 acres of land with the houses that are down in Carlsbad, down in La Jolla. And literally, you know, it's like 25 cents on the dollar up here. It's amazing.
So tell me, what's an average price in Fallbrook of, say a 2,000-square-foot house?
A 2,000-square-foot house is probably around 500 or so thousand.
Okay.
Depending upon the quality.
Right. That changes everywhere. So you're doing residential and commercial brokeraging, right? And then Carol, tell us a little bit about what you're doing. Because I know.
Yes. Well,
is it okay if I tell the listeners that you two are married, so I can put that out there because I want to know, because the way that we're talking about today, you just bring so much expertise to the table that it really gives us a good range for what's happening out there. And I think and part of the title in Wise Choices is also with something you're doing too, and I think that's going to be interesting for our listeners to hear.
Yes, I am. Working with homeowners, with businesses in the area of insurance, which I believe is largely misunderstood. Misunderstood in the sense that recent reports have been that insurance, the purchasing of insurance has been going down and down and down. And
is it? And Paul, chime in too. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Being person of insurance, do you mean like whole life, term insurance, or what type of insurance is going down?
We're talking here about a life insurance. Let's set health aside. That's a whole different category.
Okay.
A life insurance, and that includes whether it's whole life or term. Generally, it has been going down. In the last major study was done in 2010. I think they're due for another one. But it showed that it's been on a downward trend, and only about 33% of people purchase insurance these days.
Really?
For life insurance.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tremendously low. And what really concerns me, and why I'm on a mission to help people understand it, is that there's a huge perception that insurance costs at least 200% of what it does. So people are overestimating what it costs and not really finding out. And they don't recognize that there are living benefits as well. Most people, if they don't buy it, they don't like to think that we're all going to leave one of these days.
Right.
And yet, that's just a reality of life. And if we live a great long life, perhaps you'll never need it. But there are also now living benefits for people if you have critical illness, if you need long-term care. There are things that you can use while you're alive. But the biggest thing, where it comes to wealth choices, using vehicles like whole life or indexed universal life to have not only the mortality benefit, but also to be able to put money aside. And in related to real estate, this putting money aside enables you to have flexibility.
Right.
So you may be able to take this money and borrow some of it for investment. Or a young family might put that money aside and borrow it for their down payment. Now, all of this, of course, I'm saying you need to look at specifics for a person and talk to your accountant and all of that.
Right. We're disclaiming everything, yeah.
Right. But it is so overlooked that I believe it really would serve people to take the time to look at it and see how it might fit into their life and their overall life goals.
So you're saying that in today's day, I know I always thought that when I had my son young, I got insurance immediately because I wanted to make sure things would be taken care of if something happened. And so you're saying that many, now the statistics are showing that more people aren't even bothering with taking care of that part of their responsibility. To me, it's a responsibility, I think, with family members to make sure you get insurance at least when you're young, you know. To take care of when things are older, because it's cheaper when you're younger. And so you're seeing a decline, huh? Downside. Wow, decline,
yeah,
I mean.
I don't have the statistic to address the. I have spoken to a number of young families, and they don't have the basics. They don't have wills. They don't have insurance. It is scary.
Very scary.
So I think it is so important. I'm really on a mission to educate people and have them take a little time and look at it, because honestly, it's so important for everyone. And even as you get older.
Paul, please feel, we're all on the call together, so you can feel free to just jump in. And if you have any suggestions or things you want to mention too. So I just want to mention that so that you don't have to wait until we say call you in, you know, because we're all in this talking. And what do you think about annuities, basically, with insurance too? What's your take on that?
Yeah, annuities can definitely be a benefit. And I was recently reading a book by Tony Robbins on money, and he has interviewed very, very wealthy people, asking them what principles they would tell their own family. If they couldn't leave them money, they had to leave them principles. And It was very interesting as he looked at diversity, as he looked at things like annuities, which can be, for some people, a better alternative than putting it aside in mutual funds, because it is secure. And one of the things I always say is, be conservative. The first rule, this is a Warren Buffett rule, is don't lose money. And unfortunately, mutual funds go up, but they go down as well. And there are some other vehicles that go up, maybe not as fast as the leap sometimes, but they don't suffer the downturn. So it's worth that for people to look at annuities, at life insurance, is how it fits into their total financial plan.
See,
now,
what I've learned...
I'm sorry.
Okay, so what I've also watched, because I was a life agent back in 95 when A.L. Williams came out with my term...
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he started to change the industry. Unfortunately, it caused a major problem. Term insurance is a great vehicle as long as it's alongside of an IUL or whole life policy for when you're young, because you need extra insurance and you don't want to pay the high costs of the whole life or the IULs. And then as your kids grow up, that falls away, but you have an underlying policy in case you get ill, cancer, have problems where you're no longer insurable. So you want to have that protection. But one of the main strange things is, there's a couple of them, is that nobody's, that has ever stayed with life insurance long-term has ever lost money.
Really?
In 150 years, people, as long as you go long-term, if you have the right type of policy, you will never lose money. Ain't going to happen. Because unlike banks, unlike stock markets, unlike anything, insurance companies are regulated completely different. They can't leverage their assets. In other words, they can't loan out more than what they got. And it's that's why they are so stable. If you notice during the 2008-09 crashes, all of them, we never had an insurance company go down. AIG got in trouble not because of the insurance portfolio problem, but because they were diversified internationally. And once they got back on track, they paid the U.S. government back with a profit. Insurance companies are the most stable form out there. And that's why the rich, and I say rich, I mean the wealthy people out there, understand that when you pass an estate from generation to generation, as you become more wealthy, you want to make sure it's tax protected. And most life insurance policies to a specific dollar amount are basically tax-free. They create an estate, and it's tax-free, which is why they get these gigantic policies, because when they have lots of real estate, somebody dies. Now the IRS comes in and says, okay, well, here's a tax bill. Now you have to fire sale off your real estate, so most of the value starts to disappear, or you have to sell off your stocks and bonds and whatever else you need to do, get out of the market. You have to pay the taxes on that. Then you have to pay Uncle Sam the estate taxes. So you get a double whammy at the end of the marketplace, whereas when you're sitting there with life insurance, somebody dies, that insurance policy will cover most of the estate taxes. And if you do it right, it'll
pay to do that. You know, I had a life insurance. I had a license for years that I didn't use. I've had real estate since 85, and I had life and health for 10, and I didn't. And the person that wanted me to get into that was a manager at Long & Foster back in 87, and I just kind of did it as a favor. And it sounds silly, but I took the test and did. But they were into the A.O. Williams, and they were definitely saying, you know, term insurance, you know, buy term and invest the rest. buy term, invest the rest. And that's what, so your set was really not a good way to, I mean, because you could buy so much for such a little amount. So I like what you're saying, that you should maybe do that when you're younger, but then against, buy the whole life too, you know, and that's, I didn't know that no one loses money. I mean, that money's not lost in insurance. That's really amazing.
It's a very solid structure. I mean, the laws and regulations around insurance companies are so radically different from banks or stock market. You can't, you know, if you're an insurance company, you can't go down to the feds and give them 10 cents on the dollar and loan out 10 times more than you're worth. It just doesn't happen that way.
That's a, and well, how, that, go ahead, I'm sorry.
The insurance companies have a backup. Like anything else, they have what's called reinsurers. So even though they're putting out policies, they've got a gigantic company behind them that will also take a portion of what they put out in insurance policies and what's called reinsurer. And they're all over the world. They're gigantic companies. And what they do is they back up insurance companies. So if anything happens to the policy, you've got not only that big, gigantic company in front of you, but there's another one behind it. So it's their safeguards in the industry. They're safeguards.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. So how do you, before we go further right now, because you're okay going. I don't want to take a break if you don't want to take a break, if you're okay.
No,
it's good. Our show goes by so fast that I prefer not to throw a commercial in if we don't have to right now. What are you doing? Can you go ahead and give your contact information now, too, because we want to do that.
Okay. You could either address Paul or Carol on our email address at wisewealthchoices.com.
Okay.
I will add that my name is spelled C-A-R-O-L-E.
Yeah, Carol
okay,
has
so
an E.
Carol Hodges isn't on there. Okay, so it's not Carol Hodges, right, for your email. It's Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, at wisechoices.com.
Wisewealthchoices.com.
Wisewealthchoices.com. Or Paul at wisewealthchoices.com.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And anybody can also email. Okay.
I have a couple emails. You could also put Paul at wisewealthrealestate.com. That'll work too.
Okay, and if anybody's in doubt, you know you can always email radio@realityuniversal.com, and we'll get you the information as well. But and a phone number? Want to put out a phone number? Or
sure.
Not everybody's on email. Most people are. But okay.
What?
I said not everyone's on email. Most people are. Yeah.
So my personal cell phone number, if you want to call me direct, is 760-726-4228.
Fantastic.
And
go ahead.
I will add mine. It is 310-471-5219.
Fantastic. So I want to loop back around and then come back to this in a couple minutes. I want to loop back around to something, Paul, that you're doing in real estate that's pretty interesting, where you're offering sellers and buyers, pretty much sellers, I think, on listing. I don't know if it's residential and commercial. Tell us a little bit about your take on what you're doing that's different than what most agents and brokers do.
Well, having done this for 30-some-odd years, you know, what I've noticed is that as prices go up, real estate agents like ourselves as brokers, we make a lot of money per transaction. Take, for example, a simple $700,000 house, which is not a high-priced house around here. Our commission just on 3% of half of it is $21,000. And what do we actually do for that $21,000 that you couldn't hire a team of people to do for less? So what I chose to do was to help the seller out. Okay, seller, I'm going to come into your house and I'm going to look at it. If it needs to be cleaned, I'm going to bring a cleaning crew in here and I'm going to clean it. If it needs touch-up paint, I'm going to get a painting crew in here and I'm going to fix the paint. If there's debris outside, I'm going to clean the debris outside. I'm going to do whatever it is, and I'm going to take it out of my commissions and pay for it. So
that's amazing.
You have a more saleable house. and that you don't have to pay for it. And on the buyer side, it's something similar to that. If I work with a buyer and he comes in and we find a house that's really nice, when the people move out of that house, the house is usually a little on the rough side because they've been moving out. So I'm going to go in there with a cleaning crew again, and I'm going to spit shine that house. I'm also going to help them with their moving costs, depending upon where they're going to come from. I might even spend a couple of $1,000 hiring a moving van, trucks and things, and getting their whole house moved in. Then I'm going to take them out to dinner to a really nice restaurant. I'm going to treat them like royalty. These buyers are very, very special people. And brokers typically, they'll send them a thank you card. Here you go. Have a nice day. Thank you for doing. Oh, by the way, do you have any referrals? But they really don't do anything for them other than searching. And it's interesting because the buyers don't even pay us. The sellers do. So the buyers are getting our services for free, but still, they are so valuable to us. Without buyers, we would not be able to sell real estate. So I want to treat these buyers like royalty. I want to be able to spend the time with them to really learn about their families, to really learn about their goals, dreams, and ideas, to find them not just a four-bedroom, three-bedroom, or two-bath house, but to find what their dreams are, not just for today, but for 5 to 10 years into the future. Are their kids growing? Will they actually need a slightly larger home? What do they need to do? And I have a program that it's not a public assistant program. It is a private program where we will do matching dollars down to 25% down so you don't end up with mortgage insurance premiums. We'll do an equity split on the back end, and you can buy us out after 3 years and just keep the property yourself.
So, because you have a mortgage license, mortgage broker's license also, right?
No, I used to be a mortgage broker for 25 years. I may get it again. I am not sure. But I'm working with an outside company that will put up half the down payment money with their banks. It's funded by universities and pension funds. And what they'll do is they'll come in, as long as your credit is good and you're willing to buy it, if you put 10% down, they'll match it with 10% down. So your loan, one, is a lower loan. Two, so your dollar amount, you can qualify better. And three, you don't have mortgage insurance premiums on it.
So I'm just trying to, it's actually like a second loan, because the lenders may not allow that when you're first going in and buying the property. So how does that,
Okay, first of all, it is not a loan. Okay, there are no payments and no interest on it. What they do is they equity share with you for the future.
Okay.
In other words,
okay.
We don't take ownership. We do not take ownership in the house. We do not put a mortgage on the house. What we do is we put an option on the house that says, down the road, if you go to sell the property, we want to share some equity with you, only from the amount of what the house is forward. You keep all the equity in the house. That's yours. That's not ours.
So it's a trade. I can see. Yeah. Now, is that being done everywhere in all 50 states, or pretty much where?
No. Actually, it's extremely limited. In California, it's only in the very dense metropolitan areas. It's a little bit in Washington, D.C., and a few other states, but primarily, it's a very, very limited market.
Let me ask you this. Why would somebody – okay, so how would they find it? They could contact you and find out about it, and it's done through – I guess it's through a lender.
No, right. It's not. It's not through a lender. It's through a private company, and we have three banks only in the United States so far that will work with us with this program. Because like you said, lenders don't want anybody else – playing in, giving down payment money, or do anything. So we have a very specialized bank here in California, a very big bank, that will allow this to happen. So they're the bank. They're not part of where the money comes from. The money comes from universities and pension funds, separate program.
But I,
as a broker, if they're working with me, I am authorized to work with this company to assist them with the down payment money, put them in through the bank, get them their mortgages. I don't make anything off of it at all. I don't make one penny off the mortgage or the program. All I am is I am their buyer's broker. So I'm not only going to help them put the whole system together, but I'm also going to treat them like royalty and give them all their benefits. So it's it's very unique. It's been around for about 11 years, but it's a very quiet, private program.
Now let me ask you just for my, because, you know, with the lender, they're going to want to know, you have to have seasoning on your money, your down payment. They want to know where your money came from, if it's a gift. So is it just more for jumbo loans, or can you do it on the lower-priced homes too?
You can do it down to $200,000 homes. And, again, mm-hmm. it's a very specialized lender. All lenders will not do this. There are only about three banks.
Right, I understand that. But say they're going to get a first from somebody else, though, right?
No, they're going to do the first.
They're going to do the whole thing. They're going to do the entire thing. Got it. That makes sense.
The bank is going to do the mortgage, but it's a bank that will allow the university program to put the down payment money. They are two separate companies.
That makes sense. That's why I was wondering, because I know, you know, so many times they have to check this and everything. So that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. So if somebody doesn't have the difference down, though, is that going to be, that's basically, how much, what was there a maximum they'll go to, or is it basically for the 20% down or any?
It is, the buyer has to have a minimum of 10% down. They can go up to 12.5% down with matching dollars, which would take the down payment to 25% down. Whatever the borrower puts down, the company will match.
Okay.
So if they put down 10%, the company puts down 10%. If they put 12.5% down, the company will put 12.5% down. But that's where they're going to stop, at 25% down.
Okay.
And the rest of them picks up. And for that, they're going to share in 50% of the future appreciation. Again, they're not touching the equity in the property. That's yours. You own the house. They're not on title. They only hold an option.
Okay.
And after 3 years, you can buy them out of the option.
And then it's going to be based on whatever the equity is at that time in 3 years.
Whatever the appreciation is, not the equity, but the appreciation from whatever they purchased it to.
The appreciation from when you started to then. That's fantastic. Great.
Yes.
So for our listeners, now they're going to contact you about it, and you said it's only three banks that are doing it that you know of.
Yes.
So if they want to do it in other areas, can you refer them to people?
I can do anywhere in the state of California that the company allows. Again, they're metropolitan areas only. They're not outlying areas. We're not doing it in Palm Springs. We're not doing it in the desert communities. We're doing it in Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange County. We're doing it in San Francisco, Sacramento, you know, the big metropolitan areas. That's where we're working at.
Okay. Fantastic.
And I can put the deals together in any of those areas for them with a phone call.
Wonderful. Fantastic. This is exciting.
I'd like to add something here that and granted, yes, we're married and I'm very proud of Paul. What I find is that often it's the ability to be creative. Paul has a great ability to look at something that people might consider problems, or they can't do this or that. But and I think we both work this way. If we find out what people want in life, what they're aiming toward, then often speaking to someone who can be creative can have you sit down and look at it with a different set of eyes and find solutions. So what I look at with the program Paul just described, it's one solution that can help someone squeeze into that home that they didn't think they could afford, or keep their mortgage down to something more reasonable, give them flexibility. And to me, that's, you know, one of the whole elements of real estate and insurance is, how do you be creative and flexible and look at the possibilities? I know you've been in it so long that you look at it that way, is how do you see new possibilities that someone else might not?
Fantastic. I love it. That's fantastic. It's really important. And it's so, you know, I want to loop back over to the insurance a little bit and to the some of the products that you're selling. You have the Wise Choices, and I know you're also doing something also with credit cards, I think, that's good for people. Some, you have you have a shopping bag of things that you actually offer to really, I want to say, help people, educate people to make wise choices. And start thinking about the future and also the here and now so that they're not throwing their monies away. So just tell us a little about some of the other... Sure, Jim.
Sure. Yeah, and really, there are quite a few. So what I will... You asked about the card, which I will call it. It is the Evantage Prepaid MasterCard with Crowdfunded Cashback. That's the official name. Essentially,
really?
If you...
Long one.
This is like the beginnings of thinking about your finances. We're all familiar with credit cards, but a growing part of the card market is prepaid cards. And that has been going tremendously, especially with younger people, with millennials. A prepaid card is one in which you fund the card. It's not a debit card. It's not attached to a checking account where you could overdraft it. You actually put money into the prepaid card. And one of the benefits why it's growing is that you don't need to have great credit to get it. No matter what your credit is, if you're just starting out in life, you can still put money on a card and spend it through the card. It also keeps you on a budget. When it's spent, it's spent.
Very smart.
It will stop. So great for parents to have their teenagers learn to manage money without overspending as you could on a credit card. And also, you miss all of the fees and things. And then, normally on a prepaid card, you would not get any kind of a cash back. That is normally for a credit card. Credit cards, you're familiar with some cash back, and you get a little percentage of what you have spent. What makes this different is that it's a great card just by itself for, you know, low fees and for the reasons you use a prepaid card. But when you share it with people, so I'm telling you and you tell someone else, you can get a little percent off of the spending down 6 generations.
Okay.
And so it's great on its own, but when you start sharing, you can get cash back off of other people's spending. That's what's new and different about it.
Now, are these cards accepted everywhere? Not to, like, you know how the credit cards companies accept them and then the company pays the merchant fees. Are they typically accepted any worldwide or nationwide?
Well, it is backed by MasterCard, and so
Great. Everywhere
where a MasterCard would be accepted, you will find this accepted. It's going to be a pretty broad range. I use it online at Amazon. I use it at grocery stores. We bought movie tickets last night, and it's easy to just use your normal spending on it. So it's a very, very fun card to use, and with the potential of getting cash back. It can be a small amount. It can be a significant amount. In fact,
and I think it's excellent too for budgeting and for your teenagers and your young adults. Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to share with you a link. People can learn about it more there, because it is a bank product. So I'd love to just send people to the site. And there's 3 videos. In 4 minutes, you can learn all about it. So to get there, you would go to evantagecard.com, and that's spelled evantagecard.com. And then a / palm type. There's two words, P-A-L-M-T-Y-A-P. Excuse me, T-Y-P-E, palm tight.
Palm tight?
Yes, and the way that the palm tight is my referral code. And the way that you get a card, you can only get it if you have a referral code. There's no other way to get it. So that's how people can tell someone else, and they go to that site and have a chance to learn all about
it. Can we read it? Again, it's advantagecard.com/home type or plan. I thought I heard plan in there, so I want to read it back again.
Palm. I am surrounded by palm trees where I live.
Okay, great.
The word palm type.
Palm type. Okay, so their home is not in there. Home is not in there then, right? Okay, that's me. So Advantage, E-V-A-N-T-A-G-E, card.com/palm, P-A-L-M type, T-Y-P-E.
That's correct. You got it.
Got it. And my tongue tied today, and I'm going this group. I just want to go over. I love it. So that, yeah, it's almost like a network marketing, but not network marketing. Kind of, you said it goes six lines down. They can get percentages. It's not going to cost them more than a regular credit card, right? I would think.
There is a charge, but I will tell you this goes out very favorably against other types of prepaid cards. It costs $6.99 to get it initially, and then there's a monthly charge of $4.99. But when you compare that against other types of prepaid cards, there are not a whole lot of other charges. There's no charges to call customer service or to load money on your card from your bank account. There's so many other things included. They're very, very transparent. Which
I love it.
Life.
It's so good for, you know, liability now. So many people want to use debit cards, and it's risky because they're getting into your bank account. So that's another thing that I would think that they're good for, too, for security purposes as well.
It's total security. Especially if you're traveling, you load your card up, leave all the rest at home. And I was just looking at a Forbes article on here. It says in 2009, $28.6 billion were loaded onto prepaid cards. By that number, this year is expected to grow up to $200 billion on prepaid cards. Yes, that's a Forbes article.
And do you think, do you think that's more because of security? That's fantastic. Do you think that's more because of security or people are just, overall?
Prepaid cards are used for a lot of things. They're used for gifts. They're used for return merchandise, and they'll send you a gift card or a card in the mail. Those are all prepaid cards. And a lot of them, like originally Green Dot came out, they were the largest until Kmart or Walmart decided to do away with it and go to the American Express card, which was also a prepaid card. But Green Dot basically forged the way for prepaid cards to be in the industry because a tremendous number of people in the United States are incapable of getting a bank account. Their credit is too bad. They have issues. They don't like banks.
Wow.
But they have to have the ability to have a card in their hand because a lot of places don't like to utilize cash. Especially if you're going to gas pumps and stuff, which are all automated nowadays, you need a card. So the prepaid cards became...
Right, that's fantastic.
And what we're finding is the millennials are using these prepaid cards to balance their budgets.
That's brilliant.
You load
that's why I love it.
$500 a month onto the card, that's all you can spend. When the card is empty, it's empty. And unless you put more money on it, nothing happens. So it was a way for them to set up their budgeting. And it was really brilliant that the prepaid cards came out because now it costs them virtually nothing. They load their money onto the card. If they go traveling and they lose it, it's fully insured and replaceable very easily.
Fantastic.
You know, it's got the same protections as MasterCard against fraud. So if there's any issues with your card, it's backed up by merchandise, anything, and it has the MasterCard protection on it. It's pretty amazing. And it's so cheap.
So I think I'll be signing. I think I'll be signing up. I like it. I like it. It's just so, you know, I don't know, because it's. I'm one of those people that have used debit cards for years because I don't want to have credit cards other than the credit cards that we need for, you know, traveling and rental cars. And then I've gone and gotten the credit cards for travel because I have to travel a lot, and then I'm getting points, right? So
right.
But there has to be a good reason. Or, Carol, you Macy's, I like the Macy's cards because they give you so many neat programs, but you don't want to keep a balance. And it's just kind of a – but I've always been against credit cards. And, I mean, in the – you know, you want to pile up a lot of debt. This is it's fantastic. It's really a great program. Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah,
and you can help people make money too. Good.
And there's one other thing. As I say, I love my little bag of tricks in some creative ways that – for anyone who is interested in helping nonprofits, one of the programs that we have available is for, well, both businesses and nonprofits can have a branded card. They can
really?
Have, right. They can have a branded card. It's the same card. So if you look at the site, that tells you card runs the same way. But
okay.
It could be... privately branded, so a company who really
so we could do Realty Universal. We could do a universal Realty Universal card.
Yes, you could.
Awesome.
You could do a Realty Universal card if you had a nonprofit that you loved. That so they have a lot of people who want to support the nonprofit. The nonprofit can also have a branded card. It's a
fantastic.
Tremendous opportunity. And because it's new, I mention it because they're, you know, that is a great way to both help yourself and help others. Because if you know of someone who could really benefit, well, heck, get your card and call me and we can talk to the nonprofit.
I love it. I love it. Fantastic. This has been an exciting show. We only have about 10 minutes left. Do you believe it? How fast it goes by? It goes by so fast. And
you are right.
You're listening to Realty Universal Radio. This is Natalie Mullenix, and our guests are Paul Schumann and Carol Hodges, discussing wise choices and thoughts about the future of real estate industry, insurance, and financial markets too as well. Let me this has been really enlightening. Paul, you had mentioned we were talked briefly before, and you mentioned a lot of lawsuits starting to happen with the industry, real estate industry, also piling over into other industries. Can you tell us just a brief little bit about that? Because I think it really will. We have a lot of listeners that are agents and brokers, of course, buyers and sellers, and I wasn't aware of it, and I think it could really affect a lot of our independent contractor statuses.
It is in a big way. California has had numerous lawsuits. One Coldwell banker just settled for $4.5 million because for 5,600 of their 5,300 or 5,600 of their agents, because technically one guy said, "Hey, we're not independent contractors; we're employees," and it created a real rumble. So they had to settle out of court. But I'll tell you what also is happening. And also, I think Zip Realty and a few of the others have had to settle cases of people saying, no, I'm not an independent contractor. You caused me to come in here to training meetings. You told me I had to work floor time. You told me I had to use these insurance people. You told me I had to use these mortgage people. I wasn't independent. I had to follow all your rules. I'm an employee. And it caused Coldwell Banker to literally have to rewrite their independent contractor agreement for training and other things to say it is recommended that you take it, but not mandatory. And then FedEx, Federal Express, which we thought all the drivers were independent contractors because they were making lots of money driving around, just settled a $228 million settlement, giving each driver $100,000 because technically, they were employees. They had to use FedEx trucks. They had to use FedEx people. They had to use FedEx everything. So they were really employees. So FedEx lost $228 million in a settlement. And several other companies have lost millions.
That's horrible. I have a problem, though, with real estate agents going and filing a lawsuit about the independent contractor when they like to be working on their own. It could be different if they were told they had to be in the office 40 hours a week, you know? But I think that takes a lot of nerve, but that's my personal opinion. So,
it's not even having to be in the office. It's mandatory training, mandatory meetings. And every Monday morning, everybody has to be in the office for a meeting. Or
right.
Whatever the company says is mandatory, or they call you up and say, get in the office, you have floor time, you have to be here.
Mm.
Anytime a broker dictates anything to an independent contractor, they're an employee. And
wow.
That was the problem that came up in some of these lawsuits. It says, if you're independent, you cannot be dictated to. If you don't want to follow the rules, they can let you go.
But when it comes to real estate, and of course we talk about real estate a lot on here, the real estate commission also in different states mandates that we as brokers do a certain amount of training, that we make sure our licensees are trained, that they have to do certain things. Now, the floor duty, no. The, controlling their hours, no. But then again, if you want to have people say people want to take leads, and you have to say, hey, you have to be available from this time and this, if you want to take leads that day, maybe not available in the office, but by phone or something. I think it seems to me it's getting really ridiculous. But with that said, from what you said there, you were mentioning before, that these companies may end up having to fire a lot of agents, right? If these laws do pass, or what? If they're settling lawsuits, I guess it's in the middle of it all right now. I don't know. I haven't checked into it
right
or anything.
Right now, brokers are rewriting their agent contracts. So everything is voluntary. You want floor time? You have to sign up for it. We're not going to say you have to be here. Training in the office is uniquely different than training that the Department of Real Estate requires every 4 years for upgraded education. And continuing education
right.
is always recommended, but can no longer
right.
be mandated. And
wow.
that's the difference.
Wow.
So it's if you want to work for us, these are the things that we would appreciate you do. But if your volume is down, they can fire you like anybody else because you're just an independent contractor. So, you know, you're not working out with our office. You're not producing what you need to produce. So why don't you just go find another office? So
right.
they have options to eliminate things. But what they said was if the states come out and say, absolutely every single solitary agent must be an employee. They said the industry will lose 70% of the independent agents because most of them are part-time and they really don't produce anything. And if you have to
right.
keep them on a payroll per hour when they're sitting at home
no
doing
way.
Nothing.
No way.
So they said
I'd love to see the case studies on that because it's opening up such a can of worms, it really is.
Well, it's been a battle for 50 years, and right now the tide has been turning a little bit. So brokers don't have that total control over the agent as much as they used to.
The problem is though the brokers are liable though, you know. So if there's a problem, the broker's license is just as liable as the agent. So I don't know. Hopefully they'll. That's a slippery
slope. So what it means is the brokers have to be very discerning in who they bring on board.
Wow.
And you could see a shakeup in some people who really aren't educated, who really aren't doing much, being asked to, you know, go find another company or get yourself more education or start doing something because you're a liability to me.
Oh,
you
no.
say the wrong thing, you know.
Yes.
You say the wrong thing,
know.
And I'm in violation of RESPA. You say you have to use this lender, I'm in violation of RESPA. You say you have to do this, have to do that, I'm in violation of RESPA. I don't want to lose my license. RESPA now being controlled by the Financial Protection Board has got a lot of teeth.
It's a mess.
Very,
it's a mess.
Very powerful.
You know. Now, you know, we've Realty Universal members and agents use that we have offer real estate menu programs so people can get in and get the buyers and sellers are more involved. And it's, I think it's just going to be, I don't know, we're creating, some of it's getting way out there to me, in my opinion. I think that in what they're doing with this independent contractor employee relationship. I totally get it when they say you're controlling somebody's hours, then they're an employee, but I don't know. It's gone far. It's gone very far. And but somebody's making money out there from it, huh?
And each state is different. This is not a federally mandated issue. These are state regulations coming down. These are all state-controlled things. So each state might be a little different. That's why in some states, like in California, you know, we have title insurance and we have escrows, but back in some of the Midwest, they use attorney services and they do tabletop trades and, you know, closings.
Right,
and
right, right.
Each state sort of controls how things are being run. And right now, California is the most legitimate state in the United States, and they say attorneys are looking for a payday. And if they can find something wrong and they can find one person in a company that's willing to step up and be the lead, and then they start gathering people, they can create a class action.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. That's my opinion, because I think there's enough business out there, it's not necessary. But I guess, you know, we have the rulings and laws and it goes, and it's just the defending the lawsuits is what creates such a big problem, and then you see the settlements come in because they just, it's not worth it to fight it all the way out, which is a shame. But interesting. I want to look that up some more too. So we literally have about 3 minutes left, and this has been such a pleasure to have you both on. And can you give your contact information one more time? Also, I know we're going to, anybody that wants to contact us can contact radio@realityuniversal.com, and we'll pass it on to you as well.
So you want email or phone or both?
I think phone's probably good, and probably both if you want to, because you said the wise guy. Yeah.
Okay, so phone for Paul is 760-726-4228.
Okay. Carol? And for Kimmel, it is 310-471-5219. And email is Carol, C-A-R-O-L-E, at wisewealthchoices.com.
And Paul can be Paul at wisewealthchoices.com or wisewealthrealestate.com. Either one.
Fantastic. Now, Paul, with real estate, you're selling in Fallbrook, right? San Diego. What, all of you can sell anywhere in California, actually, but and especially if they want to use you virtually. But you basically are going into that? How many counties around, right? So people know.
Primarily, I'm in San Diego County.
Okay. Fantastic. We'll have to get you into some of the networking we're doing, too, because you can go all over. So that's good. Well, I love what you both are doing, and it has been such a pleasure. If you want to add anything to everybody out there, we have about an hour, and then we're going to sign off and talk to you soon.
You know,
well,
I
appreciate what you're doing and bringing this together. And I think, as I mentioned to us, creativity is very important in addressing any issues that you have in life. And I think I appreciate this show and the opportunity that's what you're opening up to people is, different ways of thinking and looking for great solutions. So I'm very pleased that we got to be a part of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And for me, you know, the information you're putting out obviously is pretty amazing. You know, being able to inform your public it's what we need. For my end of things is, if you're going to do business in real estate, insurance, whatever you're going to do in stocks, bonds, be sure you're dealing with somebody who's reputable, somebody who has E&O insurance, somebody who has some knowledge and isn't, you know, straight off the street, unless they've got a broker sitting right next to them who's experienced. Don't just take the first person that walks in the door going, oh, okay, you can list my house. Here you go. Interview.
It's really important.
At least
three or four
brokers and find out what they're willing to do for you. Not just list your house, but what are they willing to do for you?
Exactly. It makes such a difference. There's just so many things that can go wrong that if you don't have the right person, it can be a big problem. So there we go. We're already went through our whole hour already. Time flies. So I'm so we'll have to have you back too, and we'll keep in touch. I love it, and to all like-minded minds too, and to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.